Good morning to each this morning. It's good to be here. I've been blessed with the service so far, and I not looked at a Sunday school lesson before, and I believe what I have to share this morning kind of goes right along with that and some other thoughts. Also want to welcome Curtis and Lois and Cheryl back. It's good to have the family again gathered together, and I was kind of hoping we would have a complete family gathering this morning, but then Sherwin and Tisha had plans, and I believe there's still some sickness going around, so we still don't have a complete family gathering, but we keep getting these parts and pieces, and I understand because the family I'm from is not really small, that sometimes it's just hard to get everyone together, and the bigger the family it is, the harder it is. But it's nice to see family, and that's what you are to me this morning, and I believe that in this congregation in Winchester that we are family, we're brothers and sisters under Almighty God. As I was thinking about what to preach, I was thought about the last night about 2 o'clock. Suddenly we missed 2 o'clock. We went straight from 1 to 3 because we changed time. And I was thinking about the passing of time coming into spring. It won't be long until spring will be officially here. And as I thought about how time progresses and things in life change, the things that surround us change. And I was thinking about the aspect of change and how that, what all has changed in my lifetime. I remember as a young child just saying, if only we had a dishwasher. I mean, washing and drying dishes is a bother. If only we had a dishwasher, we could throw this stuff in and it would just take care of itself. And these wonderful things came into being, and they probably were back then too. They just weren't very popular. And now our children still complain because you have to clean them out and fill them up. And times change, but there's certain things that just is a continuation of before. And something was mentioned in our district meeting. Something was mentioned about some old standard or something that we had about no power windows in vehicles. And we all kind of chuckled because even though it was prevalent for that day, because everything that man makes, I guess everything man makes, just changes. It gets old, it wears out, and they come out with something new. And so our life is continually changing. And I was thinking about that in vehicles that when I bought my truck, I think you can still buy a Ford with crank windows. If you buy a new one, you order it that way, I think you can still get one with crank windows. But pretty much you can't get a vehicle with it. It's just something that comes. And I was thinking about back to the days before cell phones, and I still remember my mom, when she wanted to have a private conversation, we had a phone attached to the wall, and she would take that cord, and it was one of them curly cords, but that thing would be stretched out almost tight as she went through one door and another door trying to get to a room far enough away the children could hear the conversation. And how that we are so much changed from that. That it doesn't, if you don't want somebody to hear your conversation, you can just text it, or you can walk outside, or you can do it while you're in the car. There's all kinds of times I can make phone conversations, and my children don't. It's change. It's things that change in our lives. And then, of course, we came to the smartphone days where now not only can you walk outside and make calls, but you can just, I remember the frustrations in my early days of construction where in the metal industry, on buildings and stuff, sometimes you want a special piece of trim bent. And you try to describe across the phone to somebody how to bend the piece of trim that he has no idea what you're talking to. And I remember telling him, well, put your hand on the paper and go straight down. Now go to the left. Now go on a 45-degree angle down. And you tried to explain it. And when the trim got there wrong, when the trim showed up and it was still wrong, then you try to decide whether did I explain it wrong or did he write it down wrong. And now we live in a changing time where that's not an issue. You just take a picture of it, send it to him, and it comes back. Changes that happens. I think about the change that happens in our life. I'm sure there's some here that at one point in your life you said there was things you did. And as you continue to mature, as you continue to grow in your Christian experience, there's things that you say, you know what, I'm no longer going to allow this to be part of my life. I'm going to cut it out. Good changes. And I'm sure we can all think of those who at one point said we won't ever do a certain thing, and then after a bit, it seems like that they change, and it just starts to, and you start seeing things happen that you never thought these people would do. We have changes in our physical bodies. I thought about this when I was at Calvary, and I stood there and watched those 10th graders that were leaving school, and I thought, what happened? They were just, when we went to Calvary, they were just these little people, and here they are, they're in 10th grade, and they're reading about all the years they went to school, and they're getting out. Changes. It happens to us. About 2 weeks ago, I was at a funeral of an aunt, 63 years old and died of cancer, and I'm there at the graveside, and this fella comes walking up to me, and I thought, I think I recognize him, and he, hey, Michael, he said, I thought you would be here. I wanted to make sure I met you. it so happened to be his relative too, and I must admit I recognized him, but I didn't recognize the 40-year-old look. I'd went to school with him. It's probably been 20 years since I've seen him, and that's what change. When I look across the audience here this morning, there's people that used to have hair that don't have hair, and there's people that used to be skinny that are a little more plump, and there's people that, and when you look this way, there's things you see in me, there's change, and we're surrounded by change. Of course, in our lives also, there's those that get married, and there's children that are born, and it makes changes in our homes, changes in our lives. And then there's death, and people die, and it's hard. But as long as the world remains, and these things will continue to change, and our things around us continue to change. But this morning for the message, I decided to bring our thoughts to the one that doesn't change, and that is God. And I've titled it, Unchanging God. And for the first part, I'd just like to look at a few scriptures. You can turn to Malachi 3. This is where we have the exact words. I have looked at a few scriptures in the first part of that reference the unchanging God. Malachi 3. Here we have this last book of the Old Testament. Here we have God speaking to his people through Malachi. The prophet, and he's talking about the changes that are going to take place. And then he says in verse 6, he says, he makes this statement, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God said it. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." We can get back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we have God saying something about himself that results in a no change, unchanging God. Exodus 3, verse 14, "And God said unto Moses," Moses, of course, was getting ready to go to the children of Israel, and he says, "Who should I say sent me?" And God said unto him, "Tell them that I am that I am." And I thought about how that can only be said of someone that never changes. In life, we talk about what was before us. We talk about what we did when we were young. We talk about what we're going to do when we get old. What was and what will be. But with God, he simply says, just tell the people, "I am." There's nothing that was before. There's nothing that's going to be after. There's no change. I am. Turn to Numbers 23, verse 19. Here we have Balaam. Of course, we know the story up until this point. Balak had went to Balaam, wanted him to come curse the children of Israel. And Balaam wanted to very, very bad. And he begged, and finally God says, "Go." And then he said, "But you can only say what I tell you to say." And so Balak became very frustrated, because every time he took Balaam somewhere, Balaam would not curse the people. He would always bless them. And Balak said, "What's going on?" And Balaam explained to Balak in Numbers 23, verse 19, he says this. He says in verse 18, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken to me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God, whatever God says, happens. He's not able to change. He does not change. He cannot lie. I was reminded of this week, how that we as humans, we say things and then we don't carry them out. And I told some of the guys that I was going to be at a certain job on a certain day. And the next day I realized it wasn't working out. So I sent a message, "By the way, I'm not coming." And my one employee said, "I just figured out what happened. It's not uncommon." Well, that's because we say, "I'm going to do a certain thing. I'm going to," but things change. And we aren't unchanging, but God is. When God says it, it happens. He cannot lie. He is not man. Turn to Psalm 33. Thinking about God, what he says will happen and right on time. He will never be late at fulfilling his promises. Psalm 33. verses 8 to 11. Here the psalmist is writing. He says this about the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. An unchanging God, his counsels, his words, they stand forever. And his thoughts, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Again, an unchanging God. Turn to Psalm 102. Here we have the psalmist writing about the Lord again. 102 verses 24 to 27. And I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations, an unchanging God. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, an unchanging God. Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And I thought about how in our when I mentioned all these other things that change in life, I was thinking about how some things don't change, really. What God has created from the beginning up until this point has never really changed since the flood. He kind of destroyed everything at the flood. But your summer and winter and spring and fall and the tree that grew, that was created at creation, is still the same trees, a replica of them. And they still have value. God hasn't changed his creation. But this says that someday this is all going to change. And we learned that in our memory work about how the day is coming when everything, the heavens are going to melt with a fervent heat. And the earth and all the works thereof therein shall be burned up. And it says that's what this is referring to here. That all these things, the foundations of the earth, the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, all that's going to perish. But at the end, thou art the same, unchanging God. Even though that all changes, God will not change. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. We have these words. The first part of this chapter talks about a time to be born, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck. It talks about all these things that happen as time is concerned. And then verse 14, it says this, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. What God doeth, God will not change. An unchanging God. We go back to Hebrews chapter 1. We have almost the same words here. The earlier passages, I believe, is referring to God the Father. And we get back here to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 1, I'm sorry. And here I believe here it's almost identical words that we had in Psalm 102. And this is referring to God the Son. It's also forever and ever. 3 verses 8 to 12. I'm sorry. Hebrews 1, verses 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as the vesture shalt thou fold them up, but they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. I believe this is referring to God the Son. We can go on back to Hebrews chapter 13. And we have these words about Jesus. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see an unchanging God, the Father, an unchanging God, the Son. And then went over to James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Again, an unchanging God. And I was blessed when I thought about all the changes that surround us, how that God doesn't change. And we have scripture after scripture that references that. So the second part of this morning, message I'd like to look at, what does an unchanging God mean to us? And I suppose this morning that we could go many different places with this. I don't have a long sermon this morning because when we talk about God, John Koblenz possibly can do a lot better job than me at going very deep. But I take God more as a simple God is, and then I run out of explanation for it. I could not fill the sky with God's love. In my mind, God is love, but it's beyond what I can comprehend. So this morning when I wanted to preach on the unchanging God, I ran into a problem. It's like, God is unchanging. Is there anything else to say? So I got to thinking, what does that really mean to me? And hopefully you can be blessed by a few of my thoughts that I was inspired as I thought about this. First of all, point number one is, and that being God is unchanging, the principles of God as founded in his word have not changed. And I was blessed this morning by Lyndon's devotions as I kind of thought he's kind of saying the same thing. He says, although a lot of things around us have changed, God's word, and he said about how God's word was written in not more of a an overall, not so specific. Well, I think God understands that man will change and things in our life change. So, for instance, the principle of temperance, the principle of loving our enemies, the principle of modesty, that's all still here. We're living in a different era of time, but temperance still needs to apply. Maybe the crank windows is kind of out of date, but there's still a lot of other things we can get that would show something other than temperance, something other than. And I was recently on a job, and I was made aware that there was this university in Kentucky, Asbury University. There was this wonderful revival happening down there. And the fellow was telling me about this. I saw this on the news. Well, he got this from a status from one of his, somebody that kind of worked for him. And he looked at me and he says, I don't understand what this man's thinking. He said, I can remember when he went to a conservative church. I can remember when his wife wore a covering. And he says, now the same individual didn't show up to work today because he went to Asbury to help with the revival down there and help save souls. And he says, I can remember when the man quit going to conservative church. I can remember when his wife took off her covering. I can remember when modesty went out the door. I can remember when the daughter showed up with dyed hair. But they're in Asbury saving people. Our God has not changed. And his word didn't change. And I don't care what miraculous things is happening down there. It's possible in my mind, I believe it's possible that people that had never heard the truth are possibly being saved, that will not deny that fact. But there is no way that we can leave what we have been taught and what we know is the word of God and throw it away and do something else and claim that we are somehow spiritual, because God's word has not changed. And God is unchanging. Second thing I want to think about this morning, the fact that we have an unchanging God, and that means that God is here. God is here. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said these words. In verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I was blessed by that thought as I think about a family coming together, that God is here. And we sometimes, I know that I realize God is here, but it just was refreshing for me to think about that Jesus told those disciples that where two or three are gathered together, that God will be there. And we come here this morning, and since God doesn't change and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if we're here gathering in his name and worshiping, God is here. And what does that do to your thoughts and to my thoughts? Well, I think that
It should create a, we want to be our best, I'll put it that way. And sometimes I know that we live in an age where there's a lot of come as you are. And that is right, probably, from somebody that's seeking. But I believe that once we learn to know God, that when we present ourselves before a holy God, that we'll dress in our best. And I'm amazed. I was reminded recently of an acquaintance that I had that he sent a picture of himself, or unless maybe his wife sent the picture, standing at a national embassy, I believe, an important meeting. And this fellow was all dressed up. And I couldn't help but respond to a little chat, said, more dressed up than I've ever seen this fellow for a long time, because I've seen this man, I've seen him go to church, and this was more dressed up than I've probably seen him in a lot of years. And he put that, and a little emoji came back, said it was required. And I thought, that's interesting, that with this man, when he was going to go in the face of the nationals, the government of another country, and he was going to stand there with a request, and he was gonna have a conversation, that they said, you come in your best. And it was a white long sleeve shirt and dark black pants. He was to be dressed up, it was required. And I don't want to take this too far out of context, but have we lost the idea that God is here? God is right here. Whenever we come to worship and we gather, I don't believe God expects this. God's, of course, always with us. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But I don't think he expects me to work, to be in my work clothes the same as I come on Sunday morning. He understands we have to make a living for our family. But I do believe that an unchanging God, when he sees his people gathered together, that he wants us to, in some way or form, show that we honor him. And there's many ways we could do that. But I think, if you go back and read Exodus, and a long time ago, I thought maybe I was going to preach out of Exodus, but I got pretty whatever. But God spelled out a lot of things to his people. He said, you must do this and this and this. And he explained exactly how they were supposed to dress, exactly what they were supposed to do with all the stuff they brought in the tabernacle. And I saw this God of order that was very defining and said, you need to do this and this and this and this and this. And I thought, wow, what does God change? Well, there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, but have we come to the point where now we say, it just doesn't really matter how I come. Just come as you are and we'll all worship together. And it does. God doesn't change. Do those things change? Does God change how he views when we get together? Perhaps he does. Point number three. And this is the last point I have with several underlining points that blessed me when I thought about unchanging God. And that is that we have an unchanging Father. 2 Corinthians 6, 17, 18 says this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And when I read those verses again and thought about it, I thought, if we separate ourselves from the filth of this world and we become separated unto God, when we become separated unto an unchanging God, what is the result? We have an unchanging Father. And I think most of us here knows what it is to have a Father that changes. And we were reminded Wednesday night about how important it is whenever we as fathers make roles that we carry them out. But as fathers, sometimes we understand that maybe the role we made maybe doesn't fit anymore, or maybe there's a good reason not to carry it out this time. But a perfect Father, God will never, he never will change. And as I thought about the responsibility of a father, the responsibility we have to care for our children and to meet their needs, and how that a good father will always do this, if he can, as much as he is able to meet the needs of his children, but how that a good father will make mistakes. But a perfect father, an unchanging father, will make no mistakes. And this morning, that is who God is to us. He is perfect. We can read that in Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. Moses spoke to the children of Israel right before he died, and he said this about God being perfect, which makes it so we can have a perfect Father. Numbers 32, verses 3 and 4. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. A perfect God will be our perfect Father. Matthew 5, verse 48 says this. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The thought of the privilege it is to have an unchanging, perfect Father. There's many in today's world that have a father that has forsaken them for selfish and sinful reasons. There's many in this world that have had a father that has died, but if we serve an unchanging God, we can then have an unchanging Father, and this unchanging from an unchanging Father comes an abundance of blessings. And the first thing I want to look at from the unchanging Father, the fact we have an unchanging Father, is the fact of point letter A under number 3 is that we will never be forsaken. Hebrews chapter 5. Chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. We have these words. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Unchanging Father, we will never be forsaken. This morning, my question to you is, are you fearful? The changes that we see in the world, the earthquakes, the wars, the pestilence, the persecutions we hear of in other countries can be unsettling. And as we listen to those things and we understand what's happening, we think about what's happening, and sometimes we have this fear that comes. But we have in these verses the promise of God, who we can claim as an unchanging Father that says, I will never leave you. And he says, I will never forsake you and leave you. And when I thought about those two words, I thought of the fact that a father, each one of us as fathers leave our children. If we have a job and work, there's times we need to leave our children. And our children, I think many of the young ones would prefer if we just stayed there all the time, and they look forward when dad comes home. And when we read about God and this perfect Father, he never leaves us. He says, I will never leave you. God is always there and always there for our best interest. He has our best interest in mind. We can read in Matthew chapter 6 where God says, Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, that we aren't supposed to worry about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For your heavenly Father knoweth that we need these things. The Father already, we don't need to worry about it. Does that mean we just live carelessly and do whatever we feel like it because we don't know? That's not what it means. But it simply means that if we follow the Father and go wherever he leads us in life, that he won't lead us into some wilderness somewhere and then leave us and forsake us. He will always be there. He will never walk away. I believe the fear that gets caught up in those around us is because they're missing a father. And they don't understand that pestilence, they don't understand that wars, they don't understand that persecutions will be okay. Because if they comes here, God is with us. Bible is full of men who followed God. We have them in Hebrews 11. That followed God against what seemed to be, I'm going to say, monetarily profitable. Think of Abraham. He just left his home country and says, I'm going to move. I'm going to go do what God wants me to do because that's the right thing. And God was with him all the way through. An unchanging Father always by. And think of Moses and his decision to leave the riches of the palace and be for the people, and God was there. If God is our Father, He is unchanging. He will never get too old to understand our struggles. He will never get dementia. He will never die. God, a perfect Father, an unchanging Father. Letter B, since we have an unchanging Father, our prayers will always be heard. We have in Matthew chapter 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into their closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy unchanging perfect Father, which is in secret, and thy unchanging perfect Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. As time passes and things become, seem to, and our lives continue to change, and things around us change, we sometimes feel like things are getting out of control. And there's many things that we find that are outside of our control. But our unchanging Father has promised that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And He is always waiting for us just to call on Him and ask for help. Like Lyndon said in devotions, we just say, Father, I need help. I have a problem. And He's there to hear and to answer, to provide. It says, he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And sometimes we think, well, the reward doesn't maybe pour out immediately. But I find that every time I'm struggling, every time I have a problem and I bring it to God, even though maybe He doesn't have a direct answer, there's a peace. There's a reward of peace that fills me. And lastly, letter C, since we have an unchanging Father, when we walk away from Him, He is always waiting for our return. I thought of the story of the prodigal son. I don't think I'm going to read it this morning. But you all know the story well of that man that had two sons. We have a father, a picture of the father that had provided for the son for many years, from young until he was old. And we can say this morning that our Father has provided for us since the time we became a Christian. And He has provided for us for these years. That's what this father had done in his one. And he had given his son, he had worked for his son's needs. He had given his son more than the son deserved. And the son says to him, give me yet everything else you have for me and I'm going to leave. And the father said, the choice is yours. And the son left. Now I can imagine the heartache of that father as that son headed out. The father was unchanging. He continued to work every day. Continue to do his thing every day. The son had decided to leave. And we know that as he went and as he wasted and began to waste everything that was given him, that one day he got to the end of himself and he comes to the rational thought of, what am I doing here? I will return to my father. And as at that moment when he stood up and he turned around, he looked the direction of his father and started heading that direction. The unchanging father took notice. And he came, I see the father running, and he came coming to that son and helping him back. I don't know where you're at this morning, but if you find yourself distanced from the father, turn around. And the unchanging Father is waiting for your return. I can promise you. All you have to do is change your direction and head towards the Father, and He will meet you and guide you home. In conclusion this morning, in the midst of changes that life brings into our lives, and time, the changing of time and the changing of things in our life brings into our lives, there's only one that we can turn to that will not change, and that is the unchanging God. And this morning, I beg of you, if you have not yet done so, to separate yourself from the filth of the world and allow the unchanging God to become your unchanging Father. That's what He wants to be. And that's what each one of us needs in our life, is an unchanging Father. And if you had an unchanging Father, and now you have found yourself distanced because of your choices, I beg of you, turn around. The unchanging Father, it will welcome you back. Let us kneel for prayer.